Filmmaker Kathy Ann didn't take the most direct route to get to Hollywood. Before making movies herself, Kathy was a reporter for The Wall Street Journal.
I started in New York, and I actually covered arts and entertainment. Then I moved to Hong Kong, and I helped them start a very brief moment where we had a Hong Kong section of the Asian Wall Street Journal, and I covered Hong Kong, and I went into mainland China as well.
Eventually, Kathy went back to school, getting dual graduate degrees in business and filmmaking at NYU. Her first movie, the dark comedy Dead Pigs, premiered at Sundance in 2018. Now she's out with her second feature, and it's on a much bigger scale. Birds of Prey is the latest superhero film set in the DC universe. And while it takes place in Gotham City, Batman and the Joker are nowhere to be found. Instead, Kathy's movie centers around supervillain Harley Quinn, played by Margot Robbie, who's forced to team up with a group of female outcasts to take on a vicious crime boss.
Do you know what that means? That means he's not just after the kid anymore. He's after all of us. Sure as hell after me. I just robbed him. You just betrayed him. You just killed his BFF. And you're dumb enough to be building a case against him. So, unless we all want to die very unpleasant deaths, we're gonna have to work together.
When I spoke with Kathy, she began by telling me how she made the jump from indies to the big-budget superhero world.
I think that you see them taking chances on plenty of men that haven't had world. Mm-hmm. So I'm very happy that they took a chance on me. But I think that, you know, the movie is about the feminine experience, the female experience in many ways. And so I think I was able to relate to it in a very personal way. And on top of that, I think it was just... I think it was luck and good timing. I think what I was able to show in my first feature actually was oddly very, very similar to what they needed, I think, from a director on Birds. My first feature, Dead Pigs, was also an ensemble film. It also had a very dark comedy to it. And that kind of just miraculously worked out that way. So it sounds very crazy, but I guess it kind of made sense.
Typically, you haven't seen nearly as many female antiheroes as male antiheroes, who are pretty much everywhere in pop culture. What was it that appealed to you about this character of Harley Quinn?
Partially because she's an antihero. I think it's really nice to see a female character that can inhabit all those things. I mean, that's what makes Harley, I think, so compelling. She is both, you know, a sort of manic pixie girl with a lot of childlike wonder, but at the same time, she's capable of so much violence. And she's not necessarily a good person. She is just, I think, a raw person, and she's still trying to figure herself out. She's capable of making a ton of mistakes and doing the wrong thing as much as she's capable of doing the right thing sometimes. So I just found her incredibly relatable in that way. And, you know, I think we just got a glimpse of her in Suicide Squad and the ability to really dive into who she is and also see more vulnerable sides of her. It was really compelling and interesting to me.
I mean, obviously, a film like this is for a very broad audience. But, you know, when we look at action films over the years, you know, we were told in so many ways that, you know, American boys like to watch action violence and American girls not so much. And I'm just wondering, you know, has all of that been thrown out the window now?
Gosh, I hope so. And frankly, I think it's always been like that. I think that, you know, I grew up with a nice diet of action films from the 80s and 90s. I've always loved them. And I've always loved, you know, especially like the Batman movies back in the day as well. And the idea that women did not enjoy watching these movies is a little bit ridiculous. And I think that also the idea that like women would not ever want to direct an action movie is also proven to be false. And so, yeah, I mean, I think just for a long time, there was an expectation that women would watch male-driven and male-led action movies. And we've just been a part of that. And that's just what we've enjoyed, but also what was expected. And so hopefully we can kind of flip that around a little bit, too.
In terms of style, DC movies tend to be darker than, say, Marvel movies. Your movie's colorful, has a lot of humor. Were you setting out to make it look different than some of the movies that are set in Gotham City that came out before this?
Yes, definitely. I think that all of it was inspired by Harley's perspective and point of view, and she is so funny. She's innately a very, very funny character. And so that was also always a part of it. And I really wanted to create a Gotham that still had a little bit of hope and wasn't so dreary, wasn't so bleak. Obviously, it's a broken system. It doesn't really work very well, and it's, you know, run by these crazy villains and these kind of criminal empires. But at the same time, I think that people just kind of live on and have their lives, and you know, they're going to find these moments of levity and hope. And that was the Gotham that I sort of wanted to create. And actually, if you go back even further, if you look at like the Joel Schumacher, you know, Batman's, that was a very, very colorful and campy version of Gotham, too. So I think we're just used to a certain type of Gotham for some time now, but it hasn't always been like that. And I think that, again, it was just the idea that, like, it could be more than just, like, a bleak version of the future or a dystopian version of what we're used to. And I think, especially given where we are right now, a nice dose of hope and humor is always welcome.
Well, I mean, that's what I'm so curious about, that because when you're making a film like this, it takes time to write it, to pre-produce and to produce it, and finally for it to be released. But are you very consciously sort of like thinking about the time in which we live when you're, you know, putting something out like this into the world?
Oh, absolutely. I think that goes back to my journalism roots as well. In my mind, there really isn't that much of a difference. There's a journalistic, I think, angle to everything that I do. And it is very ironic in a way that Margot pitched this movie almost 5 years ago. And this is before a lot of things happened, let's
say.
Like
what? Like what?
Well, I think before me, you know, exactly. It's like before a lot of things, before the world changed.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I think it's pretty remarkable impression on her part to want this. And I think similarly, a lot of women have probably wanted to see something like this on screen, and maybe they weren't able to fully articulate it. And so it's been really nice to see that conversation. But the way I look at movies is exactly that. Like, why is it getting made now? Why do I want to do it? Why do I want to direct this? Why do I want to devote a year and a half of my life at least to this project? And for me, it always has to have some sort of compelling conversation with the world at large.
Are there particular films or texts or objects that you're drawing from, like, you know, when you're creating sort of like, I mean, the lookbook, if you will, when you're when you're making this film?
Oh, yeah. We had so much fun with that. Of course, we were somewhat inspired by the comics as well, in some ways, I think that like the sort of tactile 2D quality of it, how practical it is, the colorfulness of it, that was inspired directly by the comics. And then on top of that, we had so many different references. Aesthetically, we also looked at A Clockwork Orange because of just like the heightened world that it was, the way that Kubrick treated the gangs, and also even just like the milk bar and his use of the female form, which we sort of pulled from too in both The Black Mass Club as well as The Booby Trap, hence The Booby Trap. We looked at a lot of, you know, movies set in sort of New York in the 70s and 80s as well, a lot of Scorsese films, the way that it feels almost like a neighborhood, looking at something like Raging Bull in that way, because a lot of this movie is actually very intimate. You know, Birds of Prey, it's really not about saving the universe or the world. It's about saving a young girl. And these characters kind of run into each other all the time. And most of the movie happens over the course of a day. And so if you add all that up, you realize that, like, we're really talking about a neighborhood movie. And I really liked that. I felt like there was a real intimacy there that we haven't seen in a lot of these types of movies before. And so referencing that and making it loud and brash, and if you're in an apartment, maybe being able to overhear your neighbors, because the walls are so thin, or you can hear the traffic. And that was all part of it, too, to just kind of create this like loud, crazy, vibrant world.
You got some important advice from another woman director at a key moment when you're making this, from Wonder Woman's Patty Jenkins. What did she tell you?
Well, she just said she reminded me, basically, what a director does. And to lean into that, I mean, she basically said, you know, you're the director and you know this movie better than anyone. That is why you're here. That's the role that you were given. And you need to be confident in that. And I know it sounds very obvious in a way, but sometimes you just need that little gentle reminder.
I mean, presumably this is at one of the many very tough moments of making the movie.
Well, I think that there are so many different roles that a film has, and a director is actually, it's very nebulous in a way. Like, it's hard to have a direct definition of what directing is and what it can do. And I think a lot of people might think that what we do most is just talk to actors. Well, that's actually one small element of what we do. And there's also a huge element of just managing people and creating a nice team in front of camera and off camera. And, you know, trying to oversee every creative decision, everything that fills the frame, everything that you can hear and everything that you can see. And because you're having these conversations and you're the only person that's having all of these conversations, you innately become the director and you become the person that knows the movie the best or the version of the movie that you want to make. And sometimes you kind of forget that, you know, you forget where you are in that entire, like, system.
I mean, a movie like this is just so huge, right? I mean, do you even know how many people worked on this movie?
I don't know the exact number, which is a little bit terrifying. But yeah, I mean, we would fluctuate for sure. You know, there are days where we had 200, 300 extras, I think. And I think on average, we probably had at least 150, 200 crew members.
I mean, but it's just like even people who are not on set, like
absolutely.
The amount of time credits take to roll past when you sit and watch the credits, you know, like there are thousands of people, it seems, who work on these things. I mean, but when you look at your career and where you hope it's going to go, do you imagine that you could stick with big budget films, or is there something about smaller films that you just want to be able to go back and forth with?
I would love to go back and forth. I think that's what's so interesting now. I'm going back to do a very small intimate film with A24, hopefully after this. And for me, it's less about the scale or size of a movie. I just constantly want to be challenged, and I want to be able to tell the stories that are most interesting to me. I'm very drawn to complicated female characters. That's been something that I'm always kind of looking at. And then whatever scale that seems to fit, you know, to fit that. And even with this movie, for me, it was less like, ooh, I get to make a big studio movie, and more like, I actually really love this script. I think it's interesting and compelling, and I love the spirit of it and the attitude, and I love what it's trying to say.
Having seen the industry from the outside and then being where you are now, what do you think has changed most significantly in terms of making movies in Hollywood?
That's a good question. I think a lot has changed, and yet a lot has not. I think that there is definitely an awareness now to bring in new voices, and there's almost a pressure to do so because there are those that are leading by example in a way. And I do give a lot of credit to Warner Brothers for even giving me an opportunity as this one. And clearly this is a great year and hopefully a watershed year for female directors directing these kinds of big comic book movies. So I think the opportunity is definitely growing, but I think there's still a lot more work to be done. And I think there's a lot more conversations to be had about how to make this a sustainable thing and to really trust and believe in female creative talent in a way that I don't think the industry has really had to reckon with before.
Margot Robbie stars in the film, but she also produced it, as you mentioned earlier. How much of a role did she play in making sure that women made up the main creative team?
Yeah, she definitely did. And, you know, she's done so much in her career to support that. I think she's made it quite clear, though, that, you know, the best person gets the job. And that's something that we really took as well when we were looking at our creative team and expanding that in terms of our HODs. We weren't, like, demanding of it. It was more like we made an outsized effort to make sure that women were a part of that conversation, were coming in. But at the end of the day, the best person gets the job. And so we had a very, very diverse crew members as well and team behind the camera. But I wouldn't say it was all women. And I think in a way that I think is the healthy approach to it all, because I know as someone that was hired like this, I would love to think that I wasn't just hired because of my gender either.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, I mean, in that sense, how do you still feel the old guard in the presence of I guess, conventional thinking in the industry?
Sure. I just think it's such a large industry, and it just takes a little while, I think, to have these changes. And so the growing pains are such that sometimes there is this element of, well, let's just go for the most simplistic version of something. And so like, okay, let's hire more women, or let's hire more people of color, or whatever it is. And that's great that the want and desire is there for whatever is actually motivating them. But I think that as more of these voices are going in, we can kind of change within the system and say it's not enough just to hire people of color based off of their color or hire women based off of their gender, but like, what can we do to really keep that keep it sustainable and to support them in every other way? And, you know, I look at, for example, the fact that when I went to film school at NYU, more than half of my class were women, and yet it's still so hard to be a female director. So what can we do about that? You know, what are the systems in place? What are the gatekeepers to really allow that to flourish more? And let's not like stop and pat ourselves on the back quite yet.
Kathy Yan is the director of Birds of Prey. Thanks so much, Kathy.
Cool. Thank you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.